Next case, 10-1805, Disciplinary Counsel versus Richard Vincent Hoppel. Mr. DePietro.
Madam Chief Justice, distinguished members of the court, if it please the court, I'm Harry DePietro on behalf of the respondent in this case. The respondent has objected to the report of the Board of Commissioners and Grievance in this disciplinary matter in that respondent feels several things were left out not considered by the board. For instance, there were letters of recommendation which are never referred to in the board's report to this honorable body. Had the Board of Commissioners report said, we saw these, we didn't pay any attention to them, we didn't think they were of value, that would be one thing, or had they referred to them and said there are good points and bad points, but they don't refer to them all. Likewise, case law was submitted for the consideration of the panel, and in the Board of Commissioners report to this body, there is no reference to the case law that we cited, and we assume that these cases were not considered in this matter, and we ask that this honorable court do that. Additionally, Your Honors, there is some question about mitigation, some question about restitution. The respondent made restitution to every one of the individuals that were a part of this complaint, albeit late, Your Honors, because he didn't have the financial resources to do those until after we had our panel hearing. And that was allowed by this honorable court when we asked to supplement the record.
What changed in his circumstances that allowed him to make restitution?
Well, Your Honor, can I back up just a little bit and tell you why he couldn't at first? The disciplinary counsel suggested that he not practice law. So he took the only job he could find in East Liverpool, which is in one of our depressed areas of our state, acting as a clerk at a hotel, Your Honor. What changed was his father was able to sell off a herd of cattle and raise the money to lend his son so that the respondent could make restitution. And he did that, Your Honor, by personally going and delivering a check to each of the individuals along with a letter of apology, except in a few cases where money went to the client fund that had already made some payments. But by and large, he personally approached every single one of the individuals that he failed as an attorney when he was unfortunately in the throes of a nasty addiction to cocaine.
Counsel, can I ask, I was concerned with, he had a bankruptcy practice. I know he made restitution with regard to the fees that were paid to him. Were the parties able to proceed with their cases, or were they out because the documents had not been filed with the bankruptcy court?
Your Honor,
I'm trying to assess the total harm to the parties.
I understand, and I appreciate this question, Your Honor. I can't say with certainty personally that every single person has been straightened out, but I can tell you that Judge Kay Woods restored his privileges, which had been suspended by her, so that he could access the electronic filing system for the bankruptcy courts. And he has taken it upon himself in every time one of his cases came up. Please, let me back up just another second. Without having ECF privileges, he was unaware when there were hearings in his old client's cases. So when he was suspended from using the ECF, he didn't know. Immediately upon Judge Wood's restoration of his ECF privileges, he started to get notices of when his old client's cases were coming up. And he stepped up to the plate. He asked each of them, do you want me to represent you? And he continued in the representation without charge to these people to rectify the harm that he did and to complete their bankruptcy cases. Now, I don't mean to say that each case is completed at this stage, but they are in the works. Some are being completed and some are working, Your Honor.
Thank you.
But he certainly did indeed mitigate any damage to those folks, first by returning fees that he squandered instead of properly using, and second, by stepping up and representing these people. At the at our panel hearing, there was a couple that came and testified. He had also taken on a case for this couple where a local attorney in Trumbull County, Ohio, really did not do the bankruptcy very well. These folks were about to fail in their Chapter 13 plan, quite frankly, because of the attorney's, I guess I should use the word negligence, because that's what it was. Mr. Hoppel redid that 13 plan, and they were able to save their home. So he has indeed demonstrated that he's able to perform as a lawyer. He's certainly done everything he can do to make whole those clients that he harmed in the past.
What is he doing in connection with the chemical addiction?
Your Honor, he is adhering to the OLAP contract, and he is going to AA meetings. Indeed, he's been asked to chair his own AA meeting in East Liverpool. By all accounts, and by the testimony of Mr. Paul Kamey, who testified at the panel hearing, Mr. Hoppel is steadfastly working with respect to his addiction. He has been sober. His date of sobriety is 10/23 of 2008. He gets random drug testings in connection with his OLAP contract, and he has maintained that sobriety all of this time, Your Honor. And he's been working with Mr. Kamey and with AA.
What discipline are you requesting?
Your Honor, we looked at some of the recent cases. Mr. Hoppel seems to be a particular demon because there were so many people that were involved in the harm. But it all boils down to his one problem, which was this cocaine addiction, which he was certainly seriously in the throes of. So there were a fairly large number of people compared to other disciplinary cases. But, Your Honor, in similar cases, this court has given two-year suspensions with 18 months suspended on conditions. This court has given a one-year suspension. No one in similar circumstances has been given an indefinite suspension. And in fact, in looking at those cases, some of those respondents failed to cooperate with disciplinary counsel, which this respondent did. I don't know how much more he could do to be an individual rehabilitating himself and giving this court and its process all the respect he can.
His efforts to reimburse excuse me, clients and to make them whole, has he furnished confirmation of that to the disciplinary counsel?
Your Honor, I don't know if on a case-by-case basis that has been done. I know that one of the individuals—
What I'm getting is that they're going to tell us, but do you anticipate any dispute about what he's done to—
I don't know, Your Honor. I know that we had difficulty with disciplinary counsel coming to stipulations early on, and it seems that the process being adversarial by its nature causes those kind of things. I would be more than happy to supplement if disciplinary counsel would entertain those things, Your Honor, or ask that possibly under the circumstances that this court refer this back to the Board of Commissioners for another panel hearing on these things that apparently were not taken into consideration by the board, such as mitigating factors and restitution, Your Honor. And maybe at that time we could supply a complete list.
I don't know that we've ever sent it back because they didn't reference
I understand, Your Honor.
Letters from folks who thought this was a soul worth saving. Those letters are fairly common.
I understand.
And maybe a little less than persuasive, or less persuasive than folks who are caught in this kind of thing might hope.
Your Honor, if I may tell you about one letter that was sent to disciplinary counsel, which gets back to your original question. One of the individuals who was harmed took it upon herself to write a letter to disciplinary counsel to tell her that Mr. Hoppel had approached her, had made restitution, and that she thought that his apology was heartfelt, and that she thought it was terrible when bad things happen to good people because of things like drugs. So in that, she characterized Mr. Hoppel as a good person, and her relationship to him before he was in the throes of this addiction, indeed was of that kind of nature, and he was respected. Some of the letters, we only submitted five letters of character, Your Honor. It's not my style to inundate the court with all kinds of paper. Of those, two were judges in Columbiana County, which is a small rural county, and there are only three common pleas court judges. And two of them wrote on Mr. Hopple's behalf and said that they knew him to be a good professional and a good practitioner, and that they watched as he self-destructed, and they have watched since as he's been rehabilitating himself.
Counsel, is he practicing now?
Yes, Your Honor, he is practicing now. Originally, disciplinary counsel office said that if he didn't stop practicing, they would move for an immediate suspension. He stopped practicing, became a clerk at a hotel, Your Honor.
Right.
He is practicing now. Judge Kaywood's restored his privileges for ECF, so he practices in the bankruptcy courts. He practices a little bit in Columbiana County Common Pleas Court, maybe a juvenile matter or something, Your Honor, and occasionally in Girard Municipal Court, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. And your requested sanction, short of the indefinite suspension that is on the table, is what?
Your Honor, we would suggest a one-year suspension with half of that stayed on conditions that he maintain his OLAP contract commitments and that he remain free from the use of drugs. And OLAP has him on a unscheduled, any notice type of call to have your analysis done to check for drug use. So we would continue that with our OLAP contract and have him monitored that way. And if this honorable court thought that he needed a mentor or someone, another attorney to check up on him, whatever this court would suggest, but this individual, notwithstanding the fact that he crossed the line and made a serious error and did cause people quite a bit of trepidation and things, notwithstanding the fact that he's rectifying that now, deserves some kind of chance, Your Honor. And I think in reflecting on recent cases, no one has gotten a penalty this severe, and many of those people haven't even cooperated with disciplinary counsel or the process.
Has he resolved the issues of contempt that Judge Tobin sentenced him?
Yes, Your Honor, and Judge Tobin is one of the judges who wrote a letter on his behalf saying that he would particularly be fond of seeing Mr. Hopple practice again in his court, and Judge Tobin is one of those two judges who said that he watched himself destruct, and he is watching him rehabilitate himself now.
And his inpatient was in Lakewood?
I'm sorry?
The inpatient care was at the Kettering?
At the Keating Center.
Keating? Is it
yes,
the Keating Center?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Okay. I think, Your Honor, if I have any time left, I'll reserve it.
Thank you.
If I might. Thank you.
Counsel?
Good morning, Your Honors. Heather Hissom, Assistant Disciplinary Counsel, on behalf of the Relator Office of Disciplinary Counsel. As you're all aware, the recommended sanction in this case is indefinite suspension with an order of restitution as a condition of reinstatement. The indefinite suspension in this case is the appropriate sanction. Respondent was found to have committed over 80 violations of the rules of professional conduct in 15 counts involving 14 clients. The 15th count was the contempt issued by Judge Tobin. Respondent was a very serious drug addict who took fees and attorney's fees from his clients to feed his habit. He accepted attorney fees and filing fees from 14 separate clients that were charged in the complaint, to either file an original bankruptcy action or to amend an existing bankruptcy action. The respondent did not perform that work. He used that money to buy drugs. The panel in this case found multiple aggravating factors, including a dishonest or selfish motive, a pattern of misconduct, multiple offenses, the vulnerability and harm to his victims, and the failure to make restitution. They did give him mitigation credit. They gave him credit for no prior disciplinary action, for cooperation, and unanimously they found that he did have mitigation of drug abuse.
Counsel, are you current on the information with regard to restitution?
We have received what was submitted with the brief and also with the motion to supplement the record.
And you have no dispute with the representations of the respondent?
If you mean whether he has paid that money in fact or not, we do not have any dispute with that. We know of no one has come forward and said they did not receive their money.
Okay. So that kind of takes the restitution sanction or condition off the table. How does that affect the recommendation?
Well, this court has in previous cases, Cleveland Bar Association versus Dixon is one cited in Relator's brief, stated that mitigation in terms of restitution must be timely made, and has in fact rejected mitigation of restitution that has been made after a disciplinary proceeding has commenced. In this case, it was obviously after the disciplinary proceeding has commenced and well into it. In fact, it was after the board report came out in October of 2010 that the restitution was made in this case. So we would urge the court to discount it and continue with the restitution order as a condition for the reinstatement, as for the indefinite suspension, and let that be something that the panel would consider at an indefinite suspension reinstatement hearing.
Counsel, he is practicing law, and apparently a lot of these violations regarded what, bankruptcy cases, that he took a deposit for fees and then didn't progress with those. It's been represented to us that he's not only made restitution, but he's trying to mop up these bankruptcy cases for his clients. Taking them out throws them back into the abyss, doesn't it? And I guess we don't know how many of those people who were the subject of this originally. I assume that when you say there were 80, you discovered this. You didn't have 80 people complaining, probably, to the disciplinary council. Your investigation uncovered that number.
That there were 80 violations, but they related all to the 14 named.
Okay, the 14 people.
Individuals in the complaint.
Do we know what, where they are with their bankruptcy claims or whatever it is that he was had undertaken to represent?
The only information that we have about that is what's been in the record. And in the specific complaint and in the record, there were some people who found new attorneys or some people who just continued on their own. I do not know the identity of the individuals to which Respondents' Counsel refers or to how many there are. I don't think there's that information in the record or that was presented at the panel hearing.
And that could all be resolved at this point, for all we know.
It could be. I don't have any information as to that.
All right. Do you agree that he's been sober since October 23rd of 2008?
That is his sobriety date. However, it should also be noted that was the date that he was sent to prison for the contempt.
But he has been sober now for 2.5 years, to the best of your knowledge.
The record up to the date of the hearing, which was in May of 2010, shows that he's been sober. We have no updated information since then, so it would be what's in the record. With regard to the character letters that were mentioned, they were indeed presented and accepted by the panel at the hearing, but are not mentioned in the board report. This court can assume that they were looked at but not mentioned as having any sort of weight towards the mitigation. But Relator would also mention that at the panel hearing, we objected to 3 of those letters. We objected to Exhibit 20, which is the Judge Tobin letter, Exhibit 22, which is the Attorney Lazzaro letter. Both of those reference specific counts in the complaint or specific individuals in the complaint and discuss their matters, which so they're more testimonial in nature. And also to Exhibit 24, we objected. It is a repeat or the same exhibit as Respondent's Exhibit Number 4, which was a factual exhibit that was submitted. And if this court would give any weight to those character letters, we would just ask that those objections be noted also. Regarding the case law, again, Respondent is correct. It was submitted after the hearing in accordance with the time given by the panel and not mentioned in the board report. However, those are the same cases that Respondent mentions in his brief to this court. It should be noted that they are not similar in either facts, mitigation, or aggravation, or the vulnerability of victims. 2 of those cases that are mentioned don't even involve clients. Those are Toledo Bar Association versus Weisberg and Office of Disciplinary Counsel versus Mays. Those are 2 cases that are mentioned with no clients even involved. The remainder of the cases, again, do not involve the pervasiveness of the misconduct or even, in many cases, the seriousness of the addiction of the respondent, and are such inapplicable to this case. The respondent in his brief and a little bit here today has argued that he does not believe he was given enough mitigation credit for the drug addiction or the abuse. However, at its core, this case is a permanent disbarment case. This is an attorney who took money from clients, used it for his personal purposes, and did not perform the work. And there are 14 such clients named in this complaint. That, pursuant to Disciplinary Counsel versus Wise and other cases of this court, starts with the sanction at permanent disbarment and goes from there. The mitigation in this case does not erase the misconduct but lessens the sanction. And that is how the panel and board have arrived at the indefinite suspension. It should also be noted that with an indefinite suspension comes the requirement that there is a reinstatement hearing. Other suspensions don't carry that. The suspension ends, the attorney is let back into the practice. But with the indefinite suspension, he would have to petition the court for reinstatement and have a hearing where he can show that he has maintained his sobriety and that he is
Counsel,
fit to reenter the practice of law.
The representation is he is engaged in an OLAP contract.
He is engaged in an OLAP contract, and that evidence was presented at the hearing.
And do you know the duration of that contract?
Off the top of my head, I cannot remember. I do remember that there was some testimony at the hearing that it was to expire, I believe, in 2012 or 2011, spring of 2011, because there was some discussion at the panel about whether there would be a recommendation for extending that contract or not.
And what would be the consequence of a violation of the OLAP contract?
A violation of the OLAP contract, if he is on a regular suspension, without a condition that he comply with the OLAP suspension, there really isn't one. If it was for the indefinite suspension, Relator's office would be notified of it, but he would be on suspension. It would be something that would be brought back up at the indefinite suspension
hearing.
But
if it was a, say, a two-year with 6 months stayed, something like that, if there was an OLAP violation, that would be brought to the attention of the disciplinary counsel, and we would be back discussing the imposition of the stayed portion.
If a condition of that stay were that he comply with the OLAP contract, yes. If there are no further questions, we would just recommend that the court adopt the sanction recommended by the board of an indefinite suspension in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. DiPietro.
Madam Chief Justice, keeping with my style not to inundate the court with repetition, I am going to give up my time and ask that the court consider our petition.
Thank you. Marshall, will you adjourn court?
All right. Hear me, hear me, hear me.